صل على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. به نستعين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أرواحنا له فداء. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى محمد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. First, I would like to welcome our guests from Church Without Walls. Charlie's becoming a regular member, so which is great. Our topic of discussion thus far in the blessed month of Ramadan has been on the verses within Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 183 and beyond, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He explains the benefits and also at times the rules, the laws of fasting. As He begins these particular verses with Kutiba alaykum siyam kama kutiba alalladhina min qablikum, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed fasting for you, meaning for the nation, the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad, just as He has prescribed fasting for those nations that have come before you, for the nations that followed Moses, followed Jesus, followed Abraham, followed Noah. Fasting has been something we see that has been a common thread throughout the message of the prophets, according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's stating in the Quran. And the purpose for that fasting, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that perhaps through fasting you may gain consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through your fasting, through this form of ibadah. And verse 185, we mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially with regards to the believers, He has made that month of fasting, that prescribed fasting in the month of Ramadan. And we covered this yesterday. Of course, alhamdulillah, we have some people here who were not here yesterday, so I'll just go over just, you know, one or two points that I mentioned. But that blessed month of Ramadan has been prescribed for the believers to fast in. And Ramadan, its literal meaning, it means to purify something through heat. That when you warm something up, as we mentioned, that sometimes we use, we boil water and we may put, especially if we have children, we'll put the baby bottle in the boiling water to kill the germs, kill the bacteria. So we are purifying that thing with heat. Ramadan, yarmadallahu the nubal mu'minin, that Allah, He purifies the sins, He purifies the wrongdoings of those who are believers, those who believe in God. Because at times, yes, if we're not ma'sum or infallible, at times we make mistakes. And Ramadan is a period in which those mistakes are being purged from the believer. And if we take that literal meaning and sense through heat, then it's quite interesting, because quite often in the hadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu wasalam, and particularly in the one of the hadith of Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi as-salatu wasalam, when Imam Sadiq was asked that why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make fasting an obligation? Imam Sadiq, he states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wanted his servants to feel the burn of hunger, just as those who are less fortunate than them feels the burn of hunger. Meaning that those who are rich, those who are wealthy, they also experience the burn of hunger as those who don't have wealth, don't have money to fulfill their, to obtain their needs from day to day. So what happens is that all of Allah's creation, whether they are rich or whether they are poor, they feel that burn of hunger. And it is supposed to, at least for those who are wealthy, make them more conscious of their duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in helping those who are less fortunate than them. So you feel that burn of hunger to realize your responsibility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help those who are less fortunate. So that burn of hunger, again, it is captured in the literal meaning of Ramadan. And if we understand that and we benefit from that, the blessing of Ramadan, of gaining that consciousness, benefit from the guidance of the Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in 185, that this Quran has been sent as a guide to mankind. Then therefore we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the guidance. We should exalt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of His blessings and His mercy and His ni'mat, His bounties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He continues in verse 186 of Surah Al-Baqarah. And this is very interesting verse. And it strikes basically at the heart of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. That if my servants, they ask about me, then surely I am near. I am close to those servants, close to everything He has created. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِي. And I answer the call, the supplication of those who supplicate, who call upon me, if they call upon me. This strikes at the heart of the blessed month of Ramadan, because as we all know, at least those who practice fasting in the month of Ramadan, who look forward to the special night of the month of Ramadan, and that is the Laylatul Qadr, the night of destiny. It's a night in which we stay up and we make dua, we supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, we ask Him for our needs, we ask Him to fulfill the needs of others, or whatever we see that it is in the best interest, of humanity, best interest of ourselves, to gain us, to make us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make us more conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask this in that night of Qadr. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that night of Qadr that, fortify me and make me firm in my path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make my future something that is bright. So this month of Ramadan, it is, in one sense, yes, all about the Qur'an, reading the Qur'an, and all about dua. And of course, inshallah, hopefully we will get to this topic. This is one of the topics that we had planned to cover before the month of Ramadan came, is dua in the Qur'an, the concept of dua in the Qur'an. And in fact, the duas itself that are in the Qur'an, there are many duas that are in the Qur'an that we recite every day. For example, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. That, O Allah, give me the best of this world and give me the best of the hereafter, and to protect me from the hellfire. Or رَبَّنَا أَتْمِمْ لَنَا نُورَنَا وَغْفِرُ لَنَا إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. That, O Allah, O God, complete for us our light, our enlightenment, our nur, meaning that enlightenment that we get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and forgive us our shortcomings, for surely You have power over everything. And there's so many other du'as within the Qur'an. Du'as that we should learn, du'as that we should know, There's dua for curing ailments, and subhanAllah, I had one friend in Qom, student who studied with me, and a lot of his focus was actually on that, the cures by the Quran. And subhanAllah, we would see this guy, sometimes his nose would start bleeding, he would take his finger, and he'll, if he had a nose, he'll write something on his head, and his nose would start bleeding. We're like, what are you doing? Is that some sort of, you pushing, we thought that maybe he's pressing a nerve or something. But he says, no, it's a verse of Quran. If you write that, then this is the effect. So this is at the heart of the month of Ramadan, to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your needs. And any dua, first and foremost, one of the etiquettes of dua is first to be in a state of purity, that you've made your ablution, you're facing towards the Qibla. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is not in one single place or in one direction. فَإِنِمَا تَوَجُّ فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ, that wherever you turn, wherever you look, and that is, Allah is there, He is present. And this is one of the meanings of what he says, that if my servant, he asks about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, then I am near. What does it mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is near? He is not near in a sense that He occupies any particular time and space. But He's near, as one mufassir, he states it, and it's a very beautiful way of explaining it. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is qareeb, or He has qurbul makan ilman. That He is near to His servant by virtue of the consciousness of that servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is near to the servant by virtue of the knowledge of that servant of his Lord. Meaning that the more you are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the closer God is to you. The more you are aware of God, the closer He is to you. Well, He's actually closer than that, even if you're aware or not. But that sense that the servant gets, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that God is near to him, comes through his virtue of knowledge and consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the examples that I've mentioned several times, one of the saints, he had some students, or at least the students, they came to him, and they wanted the saint to teach them in the esoteric knowledge. And so he gave each of them a chicken. He says, here, take this chicken. He says, and you go slaughter this chicken, of course, according to Islamic law, you slaughter this chicken in a place that no one sees you. He says, and then you come back, and I will teach you. There was four of them. All of them went. Only one of all of them came back. All of them had slaughtered their chicken except for one student. So then he asks the student, he says, what's wrong? Why didn't you slaughter your chicken? He says, I couldn't find a place where no one would see me. He says, because everywhere I went, I knew that God was seeing me. Then he told the three students, he says, you leave, this is my student. Why? Because that individual, he had a consciousness and awareness of God, that wherever I am, God sees me. And this mufassir, he says that when Allah says, فَإِنِّي قَرِيب, this is the type of qurba that he's mentioning, that he is qareeb, qurbu al-makan, ilman. By virtue of knowledge, by virtue of consciousness of that servant, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's nearness to him. And of course, the Quran, it also states, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He explains this nearness, He says that He is closer to mankind than habl al-wareed. Habl al-wareed means the jugular veins. That He is closer to man than his own jugular veins. And we think that, well, we look at anatomy, that how close are my jugular veins to me? Actually, my jugular veins are in me. As a matter of fact, that my jugular veins are a vital part of my life. So if God is closer to us than our own jugular veins, that means that He is aware of everything. He is aware of all of our actions. It is we who become neglectful of God's presence. It is we who become neglectful of our responsibility and duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And see, and this is the point that makes the prophets the prophets and makes the saints, because they are aware of that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that God sees them, God is with them, God is on their side. فَإِنِّي قَرِيب أُجِيبَ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِي فَيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي وَلِيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. He says, and with this closeness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that God has to mankind, to His creation, He says, I respond to the call of my servants. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِي. And it's quite interesting, the statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes here, especially when we think of the totality of dua and supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala providing for the needs of His creation. He says, I respond, and this verse, like before I go into that, this verse, it was revealed within the ru'ayat. It says, the sha'n al-nuzul, or the occasion of this verse being revealed to the Prophet, is that some companions, they came forth to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, and they asked the Prophet, says that, is Allah, is God close to us? فَنُنَاجِيهِ, or is He far from us? فَنُنَادِيهِ. He said, is He close to us? So then we make munajat. Munajat is, it's almost like a, like kind of a whisper of a prayer. You know, if you have something, you have a request from someone, and you don't want everyone to hear it, so you'll lean over to that person and you say, could you help me out on this issue? I'm having a little trouble. This is like munajat. It's almost like a kind of a seclusion thing. You'll do munajat in seclusion. You'll whisper the munajat. So they're saying, is God close to us? So we just whisper and He hears us? Or is He far from us so that we have to call? Nunadihi. Nida means to, hey! Because someone's far. Come here, I need your help, help! That's munada. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He revealed this verse. He says, Ujibu da'wata da'i idha da'ani. And first of all, He says that He is close. And the Prophet also responding, He says that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is not, you're not calling to someone who is deaf and cannot hear. So on the one hand, yes, there's no need to yell. But what is the moderate tone, which is dua, is a moderate tone of dua. Not yelling, and you don't have to whisper so low that, but just to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincerely call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, I answer the call of those who call. The question may be that, well, does He only answer the call of those who call? The response, again, from the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. And in fact, one of the supplications that we recite, if you go back and recite the supplication of Rajab, in the dua of Rajab, it says that Allah yu'ti man sa'ala wa yu'ti man lam yas'alhu. That He gives to those who ask from Him, and He gives to those who don't even ask. That's because this is the mercy and grace of God, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That even if you didn't ask Him, He will give. Because He is the sustainer of life. He is the sustainer of this world, this universe. He loves His creation. So he'll give even if they did not ask. But of course, for those who ask, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives. And perhaps he may give more. Because one aspect of asking, sitting, humbling oneself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking, one aspect about that is that the servant, he gains consciousness of God, of the closeness of God. He's making himself aware that, yes, while I need to make my effort to gain whatever it is I'm looking for, to obtain what I'm trying to seek, but the ultimate judge, the ultimate giver in that situation will be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be God. So one is increasing his understanding of Allah's closeness to him. So أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِي. But that supplicant, the one who sits and who supplicates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who asks for his need, says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. That one of the conditions, and here's one of the conditions for one's supplication to be answered by God, is that you answer the call of God. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, believe in him. Believe in his messengers. Believe in what he has sent forth to mankind, the guidance. Answer that call and that response towards righteousness, then for yastajibu, then Allah yujibu da'awata da'i. And this is, again, when we read the lives of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim afsalatu wasalam, even those who did not, I would say, follow the guidance of Ahlul Bayt. And this is recorded throughout history. That if there was something that they wanted, they needed, they were in a difficult situation, immediately they would go to the Prophet or one of the Imams. Said, pray for us. Because they knew the prayer of the Prophet and the prayer of the Imams would not be rejected. And that's because they responded to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when they call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their needs or for the needs of someone else, it would be answered. It would be answered. So we must answer the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we want our greatest aspirations, our greatest needs to be answered. In fact, this is why one of the recommendations, how many minutes are left? About 2 minutes. One of the great, 3 minutes, okay. This is why one of the conditions or one of the etiquettes of making supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking for one's needs is that before you begin to ask for your needs, you make istighfar. That you seek Allah's pardon for your shortcomings and for your sins or any disobedience that you've done. That perhaps you were supposed to make your salat, you didn't make your salat, you were supposed to do this and you did not fulfill that responsibility and answer that call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards righteousness, towards the best example of humanity. So then you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive me for those shortcomings, forgive me for anything that I may have done knowingly or even unknowingly. And by asking for that pardon, that forgiveness, this is part of your answering the call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I'm answering your response. You called me to righteousness. I made effort. In some places, I have perhaps knowingly slipped. Some places, I have neglectfully slipped and not fulfilled my promise to that call. So forgive me for that. And let's clean that slate. Once that slate is clean, then call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yujibu da'wata da'i. And he will answer that call. Well, yu'minu bi. And also another condition in having one's dua and supplication answered is that one believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't believe in a person, first of all, no one would go and ask. If you didn't believe that there was a God, you wouldn't ask God. You're like, oh, well, why should I even knock on that door? There's nothing there. So iman is also one of the conditions of having one's supplication answered. Again, it's not to say that God does not fulfill one's needs, because as we mentioned in the dua of Rajab, that if the servant acts, if Allah's creation acts, or if they don't act, Allah is going to give to them. But there's a special position for those who have consciousness of Allah's presence, and they act, and they will receive. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. And through that action of being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His closeness, asking Him in the proper way, and believing in God, then that servant will be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He continues to guide all of us and bless all of us in this holy month of Ramadan, and that may He answer our supplications in this blessed month and forgive our shortcomings and cover our